Hello, is this Rabbi Goldman? Hi, Blumi Berkowitz. I was just wondering, how long did you intend to speak for? How long is your shiur? Around 40 minutes. Okay. Okay, one second. Let me just start this again. No, because I'm noticing that. I'd like to encourage everyone to unblock their screens. It's very hard for the speaker to speak to a bunch of black screens. It makes them feel much more real when we can see you. So if you're able to do that, it's very appreciated. We'll be starting momentarily. Okay. Welcome everyone again. I'd love if everyone could try to unmute their no, I'm sorry, don't unmute, but if everyone could just unblock their screens so we could see everyone, that would be most beneficial. Thank you. So good to see everyone. I'm not used to during the summer being able to see everyone where I'm zooming with you from Weimar, Pennsylvania. And typically during the summer, I don't get to attend any of the events. So I guess this is one of the silver linings of Corona and this kind of format is that I get to see you even from afar. Rabbi Goldman has spoken for us in the past. Really, I got introduced to Rabbi Goldman through the Shabbos Shiurim, which I was never able to attend because I live, on the outskirts of Baltimore. Okay, here's Rabbi Goldman. But Rabbi Goldman has spoken many times when we used to have the Shabbos Shiurim in the afternoon, which of course this year wasn't able to happen because of Corona. But whenever, the girls who arrange the Shabbos Shiurim very often turn to Rabbi Goldman to speak on Shabbos. They would, say, let's ask Rabbi Goldman again. And he was always so willing and they enjoyed his Shiurim so much because he has, besides for the depth and the chomer that what he shiurim is always such a beautiful lesson to walk home with. So we're very grateful to Rabbi Goldman for joining us tonight. I'm going to be spotlighting Rabbi Goldman so everyone will be able to see him. And thank you all for joining us tonight. Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldman.
Thank you so much, and thank you to all of the Meshei Chayil who arranged the shiur, and greatly appreciate it. And thank you to all who have come to listen to the shiur. And Mitzvah, hopefully we should be zeichet to something inspiring, and it should be a schus for us all, especially during this tkufa that we're in. And hopefully we should hear Mesiras Tevis very soon. Kosh Baruch Hu take us out of this matziv and to do good things. We're on the eve of Shavasar B'Tammuz, the eve of the 3 weeks. And it's definitely an auspicious time. I would say that B'Shus, that there's a coming together of Nashim Tzidkanias, you know, to hear the Ritaira, it's even an Eis Ratzon, and that means it's appropriate to make a bakasha at this time. So, Mitzvah Hashem, Eivish Zalapachim Matzliach. I'll just say this from the beginning that we have a Gemara in Tainus, that the Gemara tells us the dinim of the 3 weeks and the dinim of the Tainesim. And the Mishnah here in Masechta Tainus Daf Chavav goes through extensively, together with the Gemara, what exactly happened on Shavasar B'Tammuz. So I'm going to read to you from the Mishnah in Masechta Tainus and Daf Chavav. The Mishnah says, Chamisha Dvorim Yiro V'Savaseinu B'Shavasar B'Tammuz, that there were five things that occurred to Avaseinu on Shavasar B'Tammuz, and there were Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. The five things happened on Tisha B'Av, and five things happened on Shavasar B'Tammuz. The Shavasar B'Tammuz, the Mishnah says, Nishtabru HaLuchos, the Luchos were broken. Moshe Rabbeinu essentially threw down the Luchos, coming down from Har Sinai, and the Mishnah continues and says, Batul HaTamid, during Bayis Rishin, that's when they stopped being Makar of the Karban Tamid. The Mishnah continues, Hufga Ha'ir, that means that the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, was able to penetrate into Yerushalayim, even though the Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed just yet, but the opportunity to destroy the Beis HaMikdash essentially was established with being able to break through the walls of Yerushalayim. Sarfa Pastimus as HaTaira, one of these ruthless kings, went ahead and burnt Rachman al-Tzlan, a Sefer Torah, the Hem Itzelem Behechel. Another thing that happened was that Itzelem was put up in the Hechel. This was during the Tkup of Menashe, and Rashi brings. And these are the five things that essentially happened on Shavasar B'Tammuz. We have a Shviras HaLuchos, we have a Batul HaTamid, we have a Hufka Ha'ir, Sarf HaPastimus HaSatira, Hem Itzelem Behechel. So this is the list of what occurred on Shavasar B'Tammuz. And it seems to me, it appears to me that the primordial act that occurred on Shavasar B'Tammuz, that which is essentially the harbinger of everything else in this list, is the Shviras HaLuchos. So the question becomes, what about the Shviras HaLuchos is it that is the gurum for all the rest of these other unfortunate tragedies that happened to Klal Yisrael? It's interesting to note, as the Mishnah continues and says, B'Tisha B'Av, Nigzer al Avoseinu Shalich Kansu La'aretz, that on Tisha B'Av, as we know, that was when the Bechil Adaris occurred and the whole Maisa Meraglim occurred in Parashat Shlach, we just recently read. And it was Nigzer al Avoseinu that they can't go into Eretz Yisrael for 40 years. Chorv HaBayis Berishonu B'Shnia, the Batei Mikdash were destroyed. Milka the Beitar, Beitar was essentially captured, Menechasha Ha'ir, and the ear was destroyed. Ir Gedoyla, Rashi says, Vayi Yisrael Darnba, Meseches Gittin, there are many Yidden there. So it's interesting to note that what you see here is that the Mishnah is saying that on Shavasar B'Tammuz we lost the Madrega. There was the Shviras HaLuchos, there was a burning of the Sefer Torah, Rachman al Tzlan, there was a Tzalam Behechol, Bakul HaTamid. So there wasn't really an Einish per se. What you have here is a Nechoiz Darga, where Klal Yisrael went down a Madrega from where they were. On Tisha B'Av, you see punishment, you see Einish, you see Churban. But Tisha B'Av, Nigzer Lavasein Shalei Konsul Aretz, can't go into Eretz Yisrael. There's a punishment there. Chorv Bayis Berishoina Ubishniya, Beit HaMikdash is destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Nilka da Beitar v'nechasha Ha'ir. The city was essentially destroyed. So you have this dichotomy of on the one hand, Shavasar B'Tamiz is where we lose a certain level, a certain madriga in our ruchnias, and on Tisha B'Av, we actually get, Rachman al Tzalam, get punished. So the 3 weeks are bracketed by essentially two primordial events. One is the Shviras Haluchos and Shavasar B'Tamiz, and finally the Meraglim, the Bechila Daris on Tisha B'Av. So these are the two events that occur that kind of bracket the 3 weeks. And it's through these events that we have the Avelis, and it's kind of a reverse Avelis, whereas the Chalila, Lo Aleinu, if there's someone is in Avelis, so the initial the tragedy is very difficult to bear. And then there's the Shiva, then there's Shloshim, then there's the ensuing year of Avelis, essentially. Whereas here, it kind of works in reverse. The Shavasar B'Tamiz, starts off this process, and then it goes to the 9 days, then it goes to the Tisha B'Av, which is the most difficult part. So we kind of build ourselves up to where we have to focus on the tragedy of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But tonight, tomorrow really is the Tainus of Shavasar B'Tamiz, and we have the Shviras Haluchos that is kind of central to the beginning of this unfortunate process. And the question is, what exactly happened with the Shviras Haluchos, and what are we supposed to do to fix whatever occurred with the Shviras Haluchos? That's really the question that we're dealing with. To explain this, I'd like to quote a Chazal that's in the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that the Avonim, when they were trying to essentially destroy the Ruchnius genetic makeup of Klal Yisrael, they had a very interesting strategy. And that is, they said, Kisru lachem al keren hashor, she'en lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Medrash relates this, that Yavan said, write on the keren of Hashor, she'en lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Write this on the keren hashor, you have no part and parcel, no chelek, in Elokei Yisrael. And the Medrash is l'chayra, adavr sasam, the Medrash is l'chayra, very kind of enigmatic. What does that mean? Kisru lachem al keren hashor, she'en lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. What are we talking about? So the Maral in Ner Mitzvah explains this, and he says that what Yavin was trying to accomplish was related to the Chet HaEgel. And Yavin essentially was telling Klal Yisrael that if you had the Chet HaEgel, if you were part of the Chet HaEgel, Ein lecham chelek b'elokei Yisrael. You no longer have a part and parcel in the Ribono Shel Olam, in Kav Yochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have no chelek any longer with him. You have nothing to do with him. He did the Chet HaEgel, and essentially it undoes everything that you tried to accomplish with Har Sinai. It undoes everything you tried to do with Matan Torah. Ein lecham chelek b'elokei Yisrael. L'chayra, they have a taina. And the question is, why are they wrong about this? What exactly is it that we have left of our Sinai after the Chet HaEgel? Again, the Chet HaEgel is the centerpiece of the Shavasar B'Tamiz. So we need to identify what exactly occurred through the Chet HaEgel to be able to ascertain what we're supposed to be focused on, what we're supposed to be working on. So if you look at the Parshias in the Torah, in Parshias Yisroi, so there's a whole discussion there of what occurred, and the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Pei Vav Pei Zayin has a very nice discussion there about how to interpret these psukim. And the consensus seems to be, I'm explaining the Chumash now according to the day of the Rabbanon, is that Klal Yisrael came to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and the Gemara says, the Ribono Shel Olam didn't want to burden them too much. They had just traveled in from Rafidim. And Mitam Chusha the Derech, Kadosh Baruch Hu abstained from saying anything to Klal Yisrael. It was on the second day, the day after Rosh Chodesh, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu starts to tell Klal Yisrael, Atan Tiyu Li Mamleches Kainim V'Goy Kadosh. You're going to be a special nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu is essentially told to tell Klal Yisrael this.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be his Mamlechas Kainim B'Glei Kaddish. After this, on the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says to Klal Yisrael that there's a din of Hakbalah Sahar. You're not allowed to go up on Har Sinai when the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyachol reveals himself on Har Sinai B'Shas Matan Torah. And it's at that time where Klal Yisrael intimates to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we want Ratzonino Liros Et Malkeinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to see you on the third day, which is necessarily on Shabbos. So they have Thursday and Friday to prepare. And on Shabbos, Moshe is going to reveal himself. And there's no machlekes that on Shabbos, indeed, the Torah was given. The only question is, when did Rosh Chodesh occur? Was it on Sunday or Monday? According to the Rabbanon, it was on Monday. So on Monday, you have the Klal Yisrael entering into the Har Sinai area. And on Tuesday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atem Tilim Lachas Kainim V'Goy Kaddish. And on Wednesday, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Hakbalah Sahar, and says that you're going to go ahead and have 3 days where you're not going to, to prepare for Matan Torah, which will be on Shabbos. So that's Thursday and Friday. And then finally Shabbos comes and there's this Matan Torah. So we have this incredible matzav that's Vav Sivan, and the Ribbono Shel Olam reveals himself. Klal Yisrael has a Maimed Har Sinai, a Maimed Nifla, with Koyla Subrakim and Anan Arafel. Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself mitoich Ananim, it's truly an unbelievable event. On Zion Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up on Har Sinai to go ahead and be there for 40 days and 40 nights, so that he comes back down on Yud Zion Tammuz. And on Yud Zion Tammuz, Klal Yisrael made the miscalculation of when Moshe Rabbeinu should reappear, and they're over the Chet HaEgel. So the Chet HaEgel comes, and Moshe Rabbeinu is misbal shtark on Shavuos B'Tammuz to save Klal Yisrael from sudden destruction. Then it's Vayehi Mimochras. The Ramban says in Pasuk Lamed, Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Beis, on Yud Ches of Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back. V'yomer Moshe l'amatam chatosim chatoa gedoyla v'ata elel Hashem. And he says, Ulay achaper bad chatoscha, maybe I'll be able to mechaper for you. Yashuv Moshe Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up on our Sinai, and he says the famous words, "Im ayin mechenin al misifricha." Yomer Hashem el Moshe mi asher chateli amchenu misifri nechei al ha'am asher dibarti malachi yelul gafanecha v'yom pokli fokarti alem chatosam v'yigov Hashem es ha'am. There's some sort of a makefa. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to Moshe, Lecha leyet mizeh ata v'ha'am asher alisam eretz Mitzrayim al ha'aretz. You should go back down and tell Klal Yisrael that I'm not going to lead them into Eretz Yisrael, but it's going to be a malach. Shalachli lefanecha malach. V'girashti esaknani amur v'achiti v'apuzi achi v'avusi. So they lost this opportunity to where I'm going to lead them in, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, and now a malach will take them in. Instead of, it'll be some sort of a go-between. So there's some sort of a break there between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. El Eretz Zavas Chol Avidvash, Ki Lo Ela Bekir Bacha, Ki Am She'arif Atah, Penach Halcha Bedarch. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm taking them into Eretz Yisrael, but it's going to be through a malach. After that, it says, "Vayishma ha'am es hadover haro hazeh yisabol v'lo shosu ish ed yo olav." It's yadua that Klal Yisrael was zeicha to shnei ksarim, two crowns, when they said nasev anishma, one keneged naseh, one keneged nishma. They were zeicha to crowns. These edyoy, and now, we're saying the fact that they had been over the Chet HaEgel and had received this news they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but it was going to be through a malach, they did not take off these crowns. Hashem says, you've got to take them off. Im k'sheyarif rega echad ela b'kir b'cha k'lisicha hoyred ed yecha mi'alecha ve'idu ma'asalach v'yisnatzlu b'nei yisraelis ed yemar chayrif. They then take off these crowns that they received by Har Sinai. What's interesting to note is that why did this happen in this order? The first thing that they're told is that they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to go in through a malach, and a malach will essentially lead them in without the Rabbanu Shalom doing it b'chveidu ba'atzmai. And then they're told to take off these crowns. What was the significance in that? Why was it done in this order? Why did the Rabbanu Shalom wait to do it in such a way? I think that there's a very important lesson to learn from the Sidur HaDvarim here in the Parshas Kisisa. And our question is, what is to be learned from the Chet HaEgel? What exactly are we supposed to take out of it? In what way are we supposed to relate to it? And what exactly occurred here in the end of the Parsha and Parshas Kisisa, where the Baruch Hashem says, take off your crowns, but he only says to do that after he tells them, I'm going to take you in, but it'll be through a malach. So what's happening here? The truth of the matter is that Matan Torah really happened in two different parshias, in the Torah. In one parsha, Parshas Yisrael, as I just read, we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had come down in Har Sinai and how the Rabbanu Shalom revealed himself in grandeur, and there was a whole Maimon Nifla of Har Sinai and Matan Torah. But the truth of the matter is that there's another parsha where the Torah discusses the element of Har Sinai and what happened b'shas Matan Torah, and that is in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. In the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Chumash discusses what exactly occurred there. And so it says there that Moshe Amar Aleil Hashem Ata Be'Aron Nodav Avihu Shiv Mezikne Yisrael Shtach Avisim Me'Rochoik. And it says V'Yavo Moshe V'Yisapro La'am is called the Rei Hashem. And here the Pasha starts to talk about Nasav and Nishma. Yichtav Moshe is called the Rei Hashem V'Yashkein Ba'Boiker V'Yivin Mizbeach V'Shem Yisrael Matzeva Yishlach Nara Yisrael V'Yikach Sefer Habris. This is the end of Parshas Mishpatim. So we have a whole parsha here about Matan Torah, and before that, in Parshas Yisrael, we have a whole another discussion about Matan Torah. What's exactly the difference between these two parshiyas? Why essentially are they separated? So I want to share with you something that the Briskerov said to explain this phenomena, and it's truly remarkable. And he says here, "Mashechalakdam haTorah l'shtei parshiyas," reading from the Briskerov in Parshas Mishpatim. And he says here, "Mashechalakdam haTorah l'shtei parshiyas, haParsha deHocha vaParsha deBechodesh Hashlishi nira mishum." There were two separate things that occurred in Shas Matan Torah. He says here that Maimed Har Sinai and Kabbalah Satira is Parshas Yisrael. And that's one element of Maimed Har Sinai. But there's another element of Maimed Har Sinai. Nichnesu Labris. Nichnesu Labris. There was the Gemar of the Geiris of Klal Yisrael. B'shas, the Korban Pesach, they had the Damila and Dam Pesach. There was an element of the Geiris there. And the Gemar Yevamos and Daf Mevav, Mem Zayin learns out that the Gemar HaGeiris was B'shas Matan Torah. So at the time of Matan Torah, there was also a whole other dimension besides the Kabbalah Satara. And besides the fact that there was a Maimon Har Sinai, a Maimon Nifla, a Gilu Yishchina that was unprecedented in Klal Yisrael's, in our whole history, there was another element here, and that was the element of Nichnesu Labris. They became a Kedushas Yisrael, a Kedushas Yisrael. There was an element of almost a piece of the Neshama that was put into Klal Yisrael above and beyond what we had from before. And this created a Kedushas Yisrael that we didn't have from before. This was the Gemar of the Geiris. And this is what really differentiates Klal Yisrael from all the Ummas HaOlam. The Ummas HaOlam do not have this Kedushas Yisrael, which is a special piece of the Neshama, so to speak, that all of us have, but the Ummah Sa'ilam do not have such a thing. Only we have it. And that was Nigmar by Matan Torah, and that is really Parshas Mishpatim. That's the Knesis Labris. That's the Knesis Labris. He says here, B'mechilta, Parshas Yisra, Kevin Shira, Shekiblo Hen, Notel Hadam, Vezorak Alaam, Hareyatem Kshurim, Anuvim Tfusim. Mocher Boyer, B'kiblo Lechem, is called a mitzvah. Mitzchila Nichesu Labris, V'nasu Kshurim, Anuvim Tfusim, B'em Sha'achra, V'aisa Kabbalah Satira. So he continues over here, and he says that Kachi v'Perusha al Torah brings a Ramban. Kol ha'nemer Parshas Hachodesh Hashlishi Kol zehu b'chlal Maimon Har Sinai. Parshas Yisrael is the Maimon Har Sinai and Kabbalah Satira. Parshas Mispatim zok the Bris Karav Medaber Minyan Ki Sosam Labris. The Meidim Ano Mimena L'Doris L'Nin Geiris Shaknis Labris Ti Al Yidei Mila Tvila V'Artzoas Damim. It's Mila Tvila and Artzoas Hadam Kimavur B'Yavamis Mem Zayin V'Krisis Dav Tes. So this is the Chalukei HaParshias over here. The Chalukei HaParshias is Maimon Har Sinai and Kabbalah Satira in Parshas Yisrael and Knisa Labris in Parshas Mishpatim. What's interesting to note is that the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Vav has a whole discussion about Paska Zuhamasa and that the Adam HaRishon Koidam Hachet was a Tzir Nifla. He was a completely Kaddish alien. There was no Ra in Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was Kol Kulei Naki Mikol Chet and Kol Nidnud Shel Gaiva, so to speak. The Ra was on the outside. The Ra is given Dritzen. It was on the outside of Adam HaRishon and it was in the form of the Nachash. When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas Teva Ra, they essentially imbibed within themselves Ra, and now had a Nekuda of Ra, not only on the outside, that could come to them as some sort of a Nesoyin, but now is on the inside. Klal Yisrael was Nesak in that, B'shas, the Maimon Har Sinai. The Haggadah's Kolbe says, Hayu Bar Sinai, by the Haggadah, we say, if we were by Har Sinai, V'lonoslan U'esatayra, Dayenu. So the Haggadah's Kolbe asks, what would we have gained if we would buy Har Sinai and not have received the Torah? So he says, Maimid Har Sinai, in and of itself, the Koilas Ubrakim put in us such a Yerushamayim and such a Kedusha where we beheld the grandeur of the Rebbeinu Shebaolam. From that, it was Paska Zuhum Asam. That's actually how the Zuhuma came out. It came from just beholding the grandeur of the Har Sinai, the grandeur of the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Matan Torah part was Kabbalah Satira, but it was also the Knesset Labris. It was, so to speak, the ring on the finger where the Rebbeinu Shelolam married us. So Parshas Mishpatim is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is marrying us, and we have the Kedushas Yisrael, and Parshas Yisro is the Maimon Har Sinai, where it's Paska Zuhum Asan, and we now have this incredible Kedushas HaGuf, that was exactly what Adam Rishon was. Koidem Achet, that's exactly where we were standing after the Maimon Har Sinai. So this is what happened. These are the two parshiyos that we have in the whole gamut of Matan Torah. Then comes Chet HaEgel. How does Chet HaEgel impact what occurred B'shas Matan Torah? Does Chet HaEgel take away everything that occurred, Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Yisrael? Or does the Chet HaEgel take away only one piece? So it's clear, Chet HaEgel only takes away the part that we had from Parshas Yisrael. The Paska Zuhum Asan, that part of it, the Kabbalah Satara we had there, the Maimed itself, that unfortunately was kind of reneged, if you will. However, the marriage that we have to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, the Knesa Labris, the Kedushas HaGuf that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was never reneged from the Matan Torah. That was never taken away. That will always stay. We're always married to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. We'll never be divorced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. If you look here in the Beis HaLevi, in the Drushes, He has these incredible drushas at the end of his Shilas Tshubas. This is Drasha Tez Zayin. He says, "Kamoi King Yisrael, Yesh La Maila Achas Shehi Mashu Yisrael Bonav Shalakonish Baruch Hu." What we're calling married to the Bonav Shalom. He says, "Bonav Shalakonish Baruch Hu, Kamay Merkazav Ni Bechayri Yisrael Veganos Nam Toiru Mitzvus Asher Lahem Bebuchinus Lavushe Kavod Shenavsha Mishla Beshes Ben Bepuchus Atayr Ba Mitzvus Ukeshachatu Ipshitun Benotul Meleim Kol Malbish Kavod." The Begolis ain't good in the Kaima Mitzvahs Kitikuna. So he says here that Klal Yisrael always has this Maila. And that's why in the Parsha, in Parsha's Kisisa, Klal Yisrael waited to take off their crowns because they understood if they take off the crowns, that maybe the marriage and the crowns, which represents the Zuma Sanachash, that they no longer had this, that this Kedushas Aguf. Well, if you take off those crowns, you're no longer married. So they waited there from the Bnei Shalom that, you know what, I'm going to take you into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. However, you're going to have a Malach take you. I'm not going to take you personally. When the Bnei Shalom said that, Klal Yisrael understood, we're still married. We're still married to the Bnei Shalom. If the Bnei Shalom is telling us that we can go into Eretz Yisrael, it must be we're still the Amma Nivchar. And if we're still the Amma Nivchar, we could necessarily remove these crowns. And that's why their Bnei Shalom waits to after he tells them, I'm going to take you in, but it's going to be through a malach. Then Hashem says, take off the edim, take off these special crowns you got by Har Sinai. That you can't have any longer because that represents a certain kedusha that you no longer can really be shayach to. And therefore, that's like Adam Arishin after the chet, where now you have to take off these edim. But they took it off with the understanding that we're still married to the Bnei Shalom. That never stops. And that's why the Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Kisisa rather, Klal Yisrael is told about removing the Edyam Me'aleihem only after they are told that they will go into Eretz Yisrael. That's a raya that they're still married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if we do remove the crowns, we're still married. That's why they didn't want to take it off in the first place, because they thought if they do that, it would become unmarried. Those are that would necessarily be considered taking off the ring from the finger, chas v'shalom. So the Beis Halevi continues, and he says, that's what it says, v'yisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es edyam mehar choyrif. Rak zeh b'proti atar b'mitzvahs. Avalim kol zeh yesh lam kedushas Yisrael. Even if they're taking off these crowns, they still have the kedushas Yisrael. Bonim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it comes out an unbelievable thing that the Cheda Egel took away this incredible Zuamas Hanachash that we had been mafkia ourselves from. But the Cheda Egel took that part away, but didn't take away the marriage that we have to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What Yavin was saying when they said, Kisvu lachem al keren ha'shor she'en lachem chilek v'elekei Yisrael, Yavin understood that the Egel undid even the marriage part. Ein lachem chilek v'elekei Yisrael. You have nothing to do with the Rebbeinu Shalom. You're no longer the Amma Nivchar. What Yavin intended was that we're the Amma Nivchar. Yavin is indeed the Amma Nivchar. And Klal Yisrael is, you're not married to the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Chet Egel is a steer to that. So if you're not married anymore, who is the Amma Nivchar? We are the Amma Nivchar. And this is a mistake. Klal Yisrael remained Amma Nivchar forever. Parshas Mishpatim was never affected by the Chet Egel. Only Parshas Yisro was affected, and that's why we needed to receive a new Torah, and we had a Yom Kippur. So we have identified, what does the Chet Egel do? What it did was, it undid the Maimon Har Sinai, and the Maimon Har Sinai was where the Pasuk Zumasim came. And that Zuma, what are we supposed to do about it? How are we supposed to relate to it? And I think the answer is, whatever we can do that is lishma, whatever we can do that is not for zich, that's what represents this Zuma. The Zuma is where everything is only for zich, it's only for me. The Zuma represents anything that is selfish. And if we get ourselves away from that, then we can distance ourselves, we can be misakin, we can be ma'ir ourselves to fix that which was lost from the Chet HaEgel. So Shavuos HaBetam is essentially where Klal Yisrael lost this Maila of where they were Adam Rishon Kodem HaChet, and now that's the Parshas Yisrael. That was reversed. So now if we want to try to get ourselves back to that, what can we do? So I would be Matsia, you know, Lanias Daiti and Eitza, which is that ultimately the Gresta Lishma, the most spectacular Shema that we can have is ultimately to daven from Mashiach. We really want Mashiach to come. Are we asking for Mashiach because we want to get away from certain problems or issues? Are we asking for Mashiach because we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to pay our bills? Why are we asking for Mashiach? We have to ask for Mashiach because we feel the Chilul Hashem in the world. If the Beis HaMikdash is not built, then Klal Yisrael, even with an Eretz Yisrael that's so beautifully built up, but Klal Yisrael suffers because the Ribbono Shel Olam is in pain. We have to keep that in our mind. If we think about that, if we think about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam's kavod is not what it should be, and that there's a Chilul Hashem in the world with a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, a mask on the Mokam HaKodesh of the Beis HaMikdash, that is the best, most aggressive Lishma. That's the most spectacular Lishma. We're not thinking about ourselves any longer, thinking about their Ribbono Shel Olam. That should be our thoughts going forward during these 3 weeks. Ultimately, the Chet HaMeraglim came from this Nakuda, where we no longer had that Paska Zuhamasa. We had a certain selfish side to us, and all of the Chatoyim, everything that was an outgrowth of this lack, where we don't have, we're only thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about our own concerns. And we do need to think about our own concerns at a certain level, but it's taken over. So what we need to do is we need to focus on how can we be more Lishma. And I would say what's appropriate during these 3 weeks is to be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's COVID, not necessarily our COVID. We want Mashiach, not necessarily for ourselves per se. We want it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kiddush Hashem in the Bria. There's no question in my mind that, you know, Chesed starts at the home, and whatever we can do with thinking about our families, our, brothers, sisters, whatever it may be, is absolutely core to this thought, this ideology, to where a person is thinking about Lishma. Of course, needless to say, it goes for friends as well. And whatever we can do to think out of ourselves, think out of the box, what can I do for a friend? That's definitely going to be the hepech of what this all represents. I thank you for listening, and I hope that this was something that would be inspirational for all of you, and wish you an easy tainus, and wish you many besurus tainus.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldman. We so appreciate it. I think we are all walking away with a lot of food for thought. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and hoping to see you all in about 2.5 weeks. Halabai in Eretz Yisrael. But otherwise, Okay, Kol Tov, be well. Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldman. Thank you.
Pleasure. Kol Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.